with and in Christ. We have the opportunity also this noon to take a look at John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 20 to 26. Chapter 17, of course, is the great prayer of Jesus, oftentimes referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus, which in some sense at least can be understood as such. Jesus here offers intercession for those who in the future will be one in him. And he, of course, is anticipating his impending sacrifice of himself for the sins of us all. Many, therefore, have seen a sort of priestly Christology in this particular chapter of the Gospel. The difficulty, however, is that the Gospel elsewhere does not particularly seem to support a priestly Christology. There's a prophetic Christology. There's a royal Christology in this Gospel. But many have struggled to find evidence of a priestly Christology. And so you'll find in the commentaries that some will refer to this as a priestly prayer, others will not, and this is why. I myself am not yet convinced that there's a priestly Christology in this Gospel, which is not to say that Jesus is not a prophet, priest, and king. It just may be that this Gospel isn't particularly concerned to describe Jesus in terms of a priestly Christology. That being said, we do have chapter 17, this great prayer of Jesus, which brings to a close the parting farewell discourse of Jesus in the Gospel. It's the night of Jesus' betrayal. It's the night of the supper. The supper has already taken place. He has washed the feet of his disciples in chapter 13. He has launched into a significant and lengthy discourse. And with this prayer, that discourse comes to a close with chapter 18. Then he will go out, he will be betrayed, he will be arrested, tried, and executed. He anticipates all of this in his farewell discourse. He speaks of this in his farewell discourse. He knows that he is about to die. He declares, therefore, in the preceding chapter, chapter 16, verse 28, I came from the Father, and have come into the world. I am leaving the world and am going to the Father. What he's saying is that he is about to die, and in dying he will return to the Father. The disciples, interestingly enough and fairly characteristically enough, respond, oh, okay, we get it. And they don't really, of course. Now we believe that you have come from God, they declare. Jesus responds in verses 31 to 33, do you really? Do you believe? He declares to them, you will be scattered and you will leave me alone. You will defect the cause. You will apostatize. You will flee in unbelief, he declares. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. I mean, there will be a future peace for them, even though they will defect. Be of good cheer, declares Jesus. I have overcome the world. And he, of course, means that he will overcome the world with his impending passion and resurrection. This is the preceding context of our text, of the prayer, which significantly informs the purpose of the prayer. Jesus prays then in the first few verses of chapter 17, verses 1 to 5, with reference to his impending glorification. He's going to die, and he has described his death in terms of glorification, exaltation, being lifted up. In John's Gospel, at least, all of these designations are offered with reference to Jesus' crucifixion and death. He prays then that his glorification might be his completed work in verses 1 to 5, and then beginning with verse 6 through 19, he begins to pray for those that he is, in a manner of speaking, leaving behind. They will defect, and he knows it. He prays for their eventual restoration. He prays for their future welfare, as he prays to the Father. He intercedes for those then given to him by the Father in verses 6 to 19, that they would be preserved and sanctified, for they will remain in the world and Jesus will not. And then with verses 20 to 26, our text for today, Jesus prays specifically that these persons he leaves behind would be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. And he mentions, too, that he's referring not just to those who are his immediate circle of disciples, whom he has declared in verse 19, I believe, 18 and 19, that he will send them out to be his apostles. In verses 20 to 26, he says, I'm not praying just for the apostles. I'm praying for all who will believe because of their word, which they bear to the world as they go out. So this is the context of verses 20 to 26. This is the concern of Jesus as he prays these words. Verse 20, ou peri touton, not concerning these guys, de eroto manon, then am I asking only, I'm not asking only concerning these guys, that is to say, those whom he has indicated he has sent out as apostles in verses 18 and 19. But Allah kai peri ton pistuanton, but also concerning those who are believing because of their word, da tu lagu. These apostles will go out bearing the word of Christ, and additional individuals will be moved to believe, and Jesus therefore prays not just for the union, the unity of his disciples become apostles, but for all who are united to him through the ministry of these apostles, these being sent out persons. But also then concerning those who are believing because of their word, believing eis eme in me. Verse 21, hina. Now hina here might be conceived of as a clause specifying purpose, but I think it's more likely actually that we're simply dealing with an object clause. An object clause specifying the content of Jesus asking, inquiring, petitioning. He's petitioning for all those who will believe in him. Hina here specifies the content of that petition. Hina pantes hen ozin, that they all may be one. Hen, the neuter singular of the number one, that they may all be one, kathos su, just as you, pater, father, en emoi, are, you need to supply the verb here, are in me, kago, the combination of kai and the personal pronoun ego, and I in you. En soi. Again, another object clause, I think. Hina kai autoi en hemin ozin. That also they, autoi is the subject of the subjunctive here, ozin. Ozin there is the present subjunctive active, third person plural of the verb to be. That, I mean, you don't need to supply the personal pronoun here in Greek, so the supplying of the personal pronoun indicates some emphasis. That they also may be in us. Hina ha kosmos, here comes an interesting statement. Hina ha kosmos pistue, that the world may believe. Jesus' hope and desire then is that this future ministry of his apostles would be one to the world, that the world may believe. That's that, and in this gospel in particular, that's a rather startling statement. The world has not been depicted in a positive light in this gospel. It's a dark place. To be of the world is a dark thing. But the abiding purpose and desire of the Lord's Christ is with reference to this very world. We can significantly speak then in this prayer of a missionary thrust to things directed toward the entire world. In verses 1 to 19, I think persons in question are the disciples, the apostles. But here the scope of things expands significantly to the entire world. That the world may believe, hati, because, su me apestelas, because you sent me. Kago, again, the combination of kai and ego. Kago tein doxon hein dedokas moi dedoka autois. Here, the personal pronoun ego at the very beginning is the subject of dedoka. Tein doxon is the direct object. And I gave dedoka to them autois tein doxon the glory. You have to jump around a little bit here, identifying subject, verb, direct object, indirect object. Then the relative clause, hein dedokas moi. Hein there is, the relative clause is modifying the direct object. The glory which you gave me, hein dedokas moi. So together then, and I gave to them the glory which you gave me. Hina, ozin, hen, kathos, hemes, hen. That they may be one just as we, hemes, here you need to supply again the verb, are one, hen. Verse 23. Ego en autois kai su en emoi. I am in them. Ego en autois kai su en emoi. And you are in me. The desire is that they would be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. And with the following verses, we'll find how that becomes possible for them to be one in perspective and purpose, even as Jesus and the Father are one. It'll be possible because Jesus will be one with them. Hina ozin teteleomenoi eis hen. The periphrastic perfect passive participle here. The combination of the subjunctive form of the verb to be, ozin, and the perfect passive participle, teteleomenoi, a rather conspicuous choice of a verb, actually, teleao, really important in John. This verb is the favored verb of choice in the Passion account, verses 28 to 30. When things are done, this is the verb that is used. When things are brought to completion and it's really, really done, and Jesus says, it is finished, this particular verb, teleo, and another similar one, teleo, are the two verbs of choice. And this is what Jesus, again, seems to have in view here, the bringing to completion of all things, which will happen especially and significantly in the context of his suffering and death. That they may be brought to completion as one, eis hen. Hina genoske ha kosmos, that the world may know. Again, the world here, the entire cosmos. Indirect discourse, hate, that the world may know that, hate, su me apestelas, that you sent me, kai agapesas, and you loved me, or I'm sorry, and loved them, autus, kathos eme agapesas, just as you loved me. Pater, verse 24, Father, ha dedokas moi, that which you gave me, thelo, I desire, hina hapu, that where eime ego I am, kakenoi, also they, ozin, may be met emu with me. I want them to be where I am. Hina, theorosin, that they may see, tain doxon, the glory, tain emain, mine. Hain dedokas moi, which you gave me, hate, because, agapesas, you loved me, pra katabolēs kosmu, before the foundation of the world. We should think of the prologue. Pater dikaia, a righteous father, kai ha kosmos se uk egno, the world did not know you. Ego de se egnon, but I knew you. Kai hutoi egnosan, and they knew, I mean, he's talking about the collective persons for whom he prays. Probably, I mean, the future persons to be added to the group characterized by oneness is yet to be. So now we're probably just thinking of the disciples, the future apostles in particular. And they knew, hate, again, indirect discourse, su me apestelas, you sent me, kai ignorisa, and I made known autois to them, and then down the road a little bit, kai gnoriso, and I will make know, ta anima su, your name, hina he agape, that the love, hein agapesas, with which you loved me, en autois, a, there's the subjunctive, a, may be in them, kagol, and I in them. En autois. I think we're out of time, so I guess I'll just kind of conclude with that. Thanks.